Let me ask you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. You know, one of the advantages of being as old as I am is that you remember how things have changed, especially with national holidays. When I was in high school, Decoration Day was something special. Decoration Day was a day when the schools did not let out, but engaged in some kind of decoration assembly. I can remember going to the cemetery, the whole school, being led to the veteran section, talking about local people that had served in the military. And then we were given red poppies that were to be placed on the graves of everyone who was a strong Christian and had influenced our lives. This was a public school. Today, you talk about red poppies, and I think unless you're over 80, you probably don't even know what I'm talking about. That's a change. You may not realize it, but it was not until 1971 that the federal government established a federal holiday for Memorial Day. And the name Memorial Day was changed because the Christian system emphasized memorials. That goes all the way back into the Old Testament. In Exodus 12, beginning with verse 13, the Israelites have just come out of Egypt. And God says to them, "And this day shall be for you a memorial, and you shall keep it throughout your generations." The Passover, the deliverance. God knew that with time and with generations, people would forget. As a matter of fact, in Exodus 13, beginning with verse 9, "It shall be a sign for you and a memorial between your eyes and the Lord's law may be in your mouth." These were things that were to be conveyed to their children. The memorial was to be established at that time. And what's interesting about that is that the whole concept of Memorial Day when I was a kid was very biblical. And Memorial Day was something else. Memorial Day, they had parades, and I mean parades. In Bloomington, Indiana, where I lived at the time, every high school band within 25 miles of Bloomington came and performed. The Indiana University Marching 100 came and performed. The athletic teams that had been successful marched together, hand in hand. The whole parade came to a screeching halt in front of the courthouse building, and all of the local ministers said something. Most of them led prayers. There was a hired chorus that extolled the virtue of being an American. That's quite a change, isn't it? That's quite a change. I saw a thing on television where they asked 100 people, "What is Memorial Day?" And they said, "It is the beginning of summer." In other words, all the recreational activities begin. Yesterday, we live on the river. Yesterday, there were kayaks everywhere. Beginning of summer. Tower Hill, I'm told, was crowded yesterday. But it's important to understand that God established a memorial in that time and a memorial for you and me. And God knew that Memorial Day was something that we needed. And so we see the first century church engaging in a memorial act. Acts 20 and verse 7, upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together, some translations say to celebrate communion, some say to break bread, but it was a regular worship activity. We know that from 1 Corinthians 16. Paul preached to them and continued his speech until midnight. Man, if I go past noon, I'm in trouble. Till midnight. This was not a dinner, it was a worship. You know, it's kind of interesting to me, as much as I travel, that I see congregations doing different things. I speak a lot in Canada, and I work with Canadian churches a great deal. And one of the interesting things is the Congregations of the Church of Christ in Canada, the main event is the communion. It runs 30 minutes, 40 minutes. The preacher normally conducts the communion service, and most of his sermon is built into the communion, and there's a little bit that is dealing with something current. It's very different. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying there's more emphasis. And we always quote 1 Corinthians 11, beginning with verse 18. And it's important to understand that what happened in the early church was that the communion service, the memorial, had changed. It was not really a memorial service anymore. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, starting with verse 18. When you come together into one place, it is impossible for you to eat the Lord's Supper, the communion. Each of you begins to eat his own supper. In other words, they had brought their food, they had brought their drink. So the idea of it being a memorial was completely gone. Each of you begins to eat his own supper, with the result being that one doesn't have much to eat and another has too much to eat and drink. What? Don't you have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you show your contempt for the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? See, we have a memorial celebration every Sunday. And it's important. It's critical. And there are three elements to Memorial Sunday that I'd like to share with you. Things that are biblical, things that I think sometimes we just don't really comprehend. For instance, the first purpose of our communion is remembrance. Remembrance. And by the way, this is true of Memorial Day in the old days. Maybe it should be today. Remember those that we have lost. Recall what they left us. The joy. The inheritance. The function. Now you have a picture of Mom and Dad, maybe. Is that what you really focus on when you remember your parents? Isn't your remembrance of them what they left you? The joy, the history, the love? The picture doesn't convey that, does it? The memorial service has changed in our country, so it includes not only the military victims, but also our own loved ones. Decoration Day, when I was in high school, was a time when all the families went out and put a decoration on the graves of their family. That was a problem for us. We lived in Indiana. All of our relatives lived in New York. But I can remember my father driving to New York decorate the graves of his father and mother, his grandmother and his grandfather. That was the emphasis. Remembrance. We feel the pain of their absence. Tracy today is feeling the pain. And I think you and I can relate to that. We think back to the people that have been important to us, even if they weren't perfect. In 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 24, Paul quotes Jesus. And what he says, what Jesus says is, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Every day, we should be remembering Jesus Christ. But the communion service is an opportunity for us collectively, for other reasons, to gather and to remember the sacrifice that was made for us. We're pretty good at that. Most of the time when somebody leads the communion service, they emphasize remembering Jesus and his death. But there's a second purpose that is stated in this same passage and is relevant to you and me, and that is proclamation. Why do we have Memorial Day? Why do we have parades? Why don't we just at breakfast time say thank you? Why do we have pageants? And you see, that also gives us an opportunity to remember the unity we should have, to celebrate the fact that we are free, to pray that we will continue to remain free. See, we can lose our freedom to foreign elements, but we can lose our freedom to politicians too. Why do we have funerals? Do you ever think about that? What's the purpose of a funeral? More and more, we're running into people who don't have funerals. And you see, I think part of that is we don't understand that part of a funeral is a proclamation. A proclamation to remember, but also a proclamation to have unity in our family. I've been in a lot of funerals where people who hadn't spoken to each other for 25 years all of a sudden started talking to each other. I've been to funerals where when people disagreed in honor of the one who just died, they agree to not continue to disagree. A proclamation to establish our identity. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, the writer says, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." You realize that when you partake of the communion that you are speaking not only to God, but to each other. I have a friend who is in a Muslim country, and they have learned not to buy grape juice in the local confectionery anywhere near Sunday because the grocer will write down their name and turn it over to ISIS. Because you see, partaking of the communion is something that is unique to Christianity. So they're identifying who stands for what. We proclaim we are Christians. And you know something? With all of the troubles and all the disagreements that have been present in the church, the one time that we should be 100% united is during our memorial service, the communion. What happens is we tend to emphasize the minors and ignore the most important things. And the most important thing is that we are followers of Jesus Christ. We obey Christ. We serve Christ. We speak to each other, reminding each other that Jesus is coming again. See, our communication is vertical, remembering, but it is horizontal. It is reminding one another of why we're here, what we're trying to do, what we stand for. So we proclaim on Memorial Day our allegiance to America, to freedom, to the things that we stand for once a year. And what does that do? Well, that once a year leaves us pretty much weak. Not very patriotic. Not really concerned or understanding the blessings that we have to live in this country. And that brings us to the third purpose of communion, of memorials, and that is self-examination. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28, notice we're just going right through that statement. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment upon himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. See, during communion, we individually should have a time of looking at myself. Have you ever thought about what you do when you partake of the Lord's Supper? How much time do you spend asking yourself, have I been a problem in my family? Am I the source of conflict? You know the old saying that if you're pointing the finger at somebody, there's three fingers pointing back at you. How much time do you spend asking, am I the trouble? Am I the one that's causing problems in the church? Several years ago, and I still wrestle with this, we had a couple of folks that disliked my preaching to the extent they were going to leave, and did leave. I spent a lot of time in prayer. What have I done? What have I said? What have I given as an example that has caused people to leave? I'm still struggling with that. Am I the one that's causing problems? A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. And I believe when you do that, that God helps you, opens your heart, opens your mind, challenges you to do better, to get out, in my case. We need to examine ourselves. Communion memorials are a time to do that. So that's one of the problems I have with America today. We have had one of our better statesmen say, you need to ask what you can do for your country, not what your country can do for you. And Memorial Day is a time on a political level to do that. But every Sunday should be a time when I sit back and say, What have I done this week? Who have I not talked to I should have talked to? Who have I not written that I should have written? Who have I not called that I should have called? Who have I treated badly? Remember what he said? A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment upon himself. See, my focus needs to be on what Jesus did for me. How Jesus has treated me. What Jesus has done for me. What promises he has given to me. And if I understand and if I comprehend that level of relationship to God, I'm going to treat people better. I want to be a better person. So every time we commune, we need to look at ourselves. What happened this week? And how did I handle it? Am I growing? Am I stronger now than I was a week ago? Am I learning? You know, one of the reasons we have Bible classes, and one of the reasons we're having the kind of Bible classes that we are, we're not playing around with the milk of the gospel. We're challenging people to think, to look at Scripture, to help us be a better Christian, be a stronger Christian. And the Bible speaks over and over of our connection to God in this way. James 5, verse 13. Is any of you in trouble? He should pray. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the leaders of the church. And let them pray over him and administer oil. And the prayer offered in faith shall save the one who is sick. That's got to refer to spiritual sickness, to sin. And the Lord will restore him. And his sins shall be forgiven him. See, our confession, our communion, our memorial service every Sunday should let us walk out of those doors knowing that we are the best we can be and that God has forgiven what made us less than we can be. So in the words of Paul, we're not weak. We're not sick. We're not spiritually dead. The Lord will restore him and his sin shall be forgiven him, James says. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be restored. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. The Lord's Supper gives us the memorial, the motivation, the strength, the ability to restore our relationship to God, to one another, and to ourselves. There are other things God has given us as a way of establishing our moral and being strengthened. One of them, as this passage has said, is to confess your faults one to another and pray for one another, so that you can be restored. And every Sunday morning we offer what we call an invitation. It's really just an opportunity to pray together for a special need. And if you have that need, we invite you to come as together we stand and sing this morning. Won't you please come?